This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. رَبِّ يَسِّرْ وَلَا تُعَسِّرْ وَتَمْنِمْ بِالْخَيْرُ وَبِكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We thank Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal for having gathered us here once again. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakinah to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. Indeed, we have all heard of the Hajj, and we have heard of the hadith Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is Arafah, which means that without the day of Arafah, there is no Hajj. If a person misses the day of Arafah, then their Hajj cannot be accepted under any circumstances. So Al-Hajj Arafah. But Hajj has many, many different parts. And if we take a look at it as a whole, then we will come to realize that it is Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal inviting us to Him, Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inviting us on a journey that leads up to He, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. You see, Al-Hajj means Al-Qasd, which means an intention. It means that you go with a heart full of yearning to meet your Maker, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal has made it fard upon us once in a lifetime. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the people is Hajj for the one who is able to do so. لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا, the one who is able to reach to that Hajj. You see, when the Hujjaj go from their homes, they leave their homes with trembling hearts, tearing eyes, and they move towards Makkatul Mukarramah, singing, chanting away something. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Here we come, O Allah, here we come. We come to you, we are present, we are here for you, O Allah. That is what the talbiyah means. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. We are present for you, O Allah. There is no partner with you. We are present for you, O Allah. And at the end, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكِ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. Indeed, all of praise and all of the dominion belongs to you, O Allah. There is no partner for you. So already from the slogan of Hajj, we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to worship Him alone and not to associate partners with Him whatsoever. Labbaik. Who are we saying that labbaik to? None other than the one who created us, the one who fashioned us, the one who made us, the one who brought us into existence. So we go to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, knowing that we are going to our Maker, knowing that we are going to the one who created us. And when the Hujjaj reach Makkatul Mukarramah, which is Manba'ul Wahi, the place where the wahi sprang forth from, then you find that the first thing that they do is at-tawaf. At-tawaf, which is encircling the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this tawaf is actually something that if a person looks at it, they will not make sense of why we are required to circle a stone house 7 times. Does it make sense? No, it doesn't. But we do it regardless because Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is the one who is commanding me to do it. So these people reach the haram, and they make tawaf of this house. And this house is known as the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That does not mean that Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal resides within the house. No, but it means that that is an honor for that house. That is the qibla of all the Muslimin. It is the only house that we are allowed to do tawaf of. In fact, it is the only place that we are allowed to do tawaf ever. Have you thought of that? There is no place on earth that you can go and do tawaf around. There is no home, no grave, no shrine that you can make tawaf of except for the house of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So when a person decides to make tawaf of a grave or of a shrine or of a house, then what they are doing is placing that shrine with the same level, at the same level of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shrine and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What have we done as a result? We have associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by revering a place that does not actually deserve that reverence. So the reason why they make tawaf around a grave is because the person of the grave. So they look up to that person. Are you saying that that person is equal to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? His command is equal to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Is that what you are doing? You are equating the two? So we are only allowed to do tawaf around this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if we take a look at the origin of this house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And when Ibrahim and Ismail were raising the foundations of the house, they made a dua, O Allah, accept from us. O Allah, accept from us. You are the one who hears and you are the one who knows everything. You see how that acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led to millions of people. In fact, to date, billions of people perhaps have made hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because there was sincerity within their hearts as they raised the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that we go to that house year in, year out. And we encircle that house. And after that, we come to the sa'i. What does the sa'i have to do with? Where did it come from? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaves his family at the Kaaba, in a house, in a land that is barren. There's no vegetation, no sign of life, no water, nothing. He leaves who? Hajar and Ismail right there. And he turns around and begins to walk away from them. So Hajar follows him. What are you doing? Where are you going? And he keeps quiet and continues to walk. And then she repeats the question, where are you going? And he continues to walk. And at the third instance, she asks him, Allahu amaraka bihadha? Is it Allah that commanded you to do this? And he says, yes. So immediately she submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She leaves him and she says, carry on then. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after us. And she goes back with this tawheed, this oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in her heart, goes back to where Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam is. Not long passes and the child's throat is parched. The child is thirsty. The child wants to drink. Where's the water? There's no water. So what does she do? She runs around and she goes up the hill of Safa and down into the valley and once again up the hill of Marwa. And today we commemorate that. So we go up and down as well. Now, what happened to the child? There's no water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, strike the earth. And the earth gushes forth with water. Gushes forth with water. Where? In a barren land, there's no water, there's no vegetation, there's nothing. The earth gushes forth with water. Why? Because when she heard, Allahu amaraka bihada, is it Allah that commanded you to do this? She submitted immediately. She knew that this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will look after me. So from that submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for her. But did she just sit back and say, I will not look for the water? There was no water in sight, but she ran up and down looking for that water. As-sa'yu, as-sa'yu. As-sa'yu means to work, to make an effort. She made an effort. Until today, it's called as-sa'y. And the lesson that we can learn from this is that in our lives, as we go around, yes, we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we also make an effort. We also make an effort. Where the sustenance comes from, where the help comes from, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But we make an effort and we bear in mind that it all comes from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And there is none that will provide for us besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hajar alayha salam found the water, and from that water there was so much of it that gushed forth that she actually reached a point where she said, Zam, Zam, stop, stop, it's enough. She was worried that it would flood the entire plain. You see, when you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He not only gives you, but He gives you more than you need, more than you can imagine. لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرُ تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. That if you are to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner that you are meant to trust Him, then He will provide for you in the manner that He provides for the bird. It goes out in the morning, empty belly, and it comes back at night, full belly. You see, it trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it makes the effort and it goes out and it tries and it works. So it comes back with a full belly, provided by who? By Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And then if we take a look at two or three more aspects of Hajj, we will come to realize that Hajj is full of tawheed, full of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Hajj is not only for 5 days. The person is going there for 5 days. He's going to learn a lesson that will carry throughout his lifetime, that he will learn and continue to implement in his life forever. And that's why we spoke about the sa'i. Why? Because our day-to-day lives are basically going around looking for sustenance, trying to earn something. As you are doing that, don't forget Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Don't forget that He is the provider, He is the owner, He is the nourisher, He is the one who will protect you. And so the Hujjaj move along and they go to what is known as Mina, and after Mina there is Arafah. And Arafah, as we said, is Al-Hajj. If you miss Arafah, you have missed Hajj altogether. And what happens at Arafah? All of the Hujjaj gather in the plain of Arafah in two pieces of cloth, in the same clothing that they will return to their Lord Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So that ihram is a reminder of the cloth that you will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. Have you ever thought of that? It is two pieces of cloth. And that is the same manner that you shall be buried, exactly in that manner. And the plain of Arafah is a stark reminder of the day that we will stand before Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. All of these people there, hoping, wishing for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts yearning for Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Ya Allah, Your mercy. Ya Allah, Your forgiveness. Ya Allah, without Your forgiveness, we don't have anything. Ya Allah, we need You. They go there sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same manner, one day we will stand in the plain of Yawmul Qiyamah before Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, needing that forgiveness from Him, needing that mercy from Him, wanting it. But there is a difference between the two standings. In this world, we have a chance to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call out to Him, to beg of Him, to place our heads on the ground for Him. But on that day, there is no more worship. On that day, there is no more seeking in that manner. There is no more ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The books have been closed, the pens have been lifted. And today we will do the hisab. Today is Yawmul Jaza. So you see how Hajj is actually a reminder for us of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, of our return to our Maker. And lastly, I'd like to speak about Ramyul Jamarat, the stoning of the Jamarat. You know where we see the pilgrims going and they stone at a certain place and then they carry on to the second and the third place. Those places are actually a commemoration of how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and sacrifice his son, he was encountered by the devil. So the devil came to him and said, "Don't do this." And Jibreel said, "Stone him." So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam stoned him. And then he carried on and he came to him again. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Stone him." The third time, the same thing happens. And then he carries on to actually go and become ready, get ready to sacrifice his son. Now you see how evil Iblis is. He saw that this man is going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. So he didn't come to him once. He didn't come to him twice. He came to him three times, trying to entice him. Yet this was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in our lives, we will find the devil will come to us and entice us and call us out to that which is evil, that which is haram. But what we have to do is not stone him physically. That stoning that you do at the Jamarat is a commemoration to show that I am believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disbelieving in you, O shaytan. Bismillahi wallahu akbar, raghman lishaytani, waridan lirrahmani. I am saying, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Allahu akbar, Allah is the greatest. With the hatred of shaytan, with the cursing of the devil, cursing the devil, and making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. So every day in our lives, we've got situations where the devil comes to us, entices us. Just do this. What do? You are meant to stone that devil from your heart. Tell him, "I don't need you. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim." Turn away from that which he is calling to you to, and turn to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you to. So that is actually a very metaphoric stoning. You are not actually stoning the devil when you are there. And this is something that we should make clear, because at Hajj we see people picking up shoes and rocks. "Hey, let's kill this devil today." No, that's not what you're doing. And you actually end up hurting another person that's in front. So the rock or that stone or that shoe that you throw, that object doesn't actually even reach the pillar, but it reaches somebody else. So you've harmed somebody else at Hajj. So we should realize that this is very metaphoric. It's not actually where you are stoning the devil and he's being hurt. He's being hurt because you are following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam finally got to the point where his son was now on the ground, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينِ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That when he reached the point where he had laid his son down, they submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ready to sacrifice his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, you have been truthful to the dream that you saw in which you were sacrificing your son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a ram to slaughter. Today, we slaughter that ram. Today, we slaughter that goat. Why? As a commemoration of the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. When you sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces you with more than you can imagine. مَنْ تَرَكَ لِلَّهِ شَيْئًا عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. The one who leaves something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah replaces it with better. Remember this. Bear it in mind. Bear these lessons of Hajj in your mind such that it will benefit you in your life. You will be able to navigate your life successfully. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand, and may He grant us the ability to practice.